So it's an honour to be here with you this morning and to share with you, and especially to be in a church where there are so many that I've known from down here somewhere as children. Like Jonathan, our friendship began when he was only a child, and Tim at camps and others whose children were at camps, and then Claudette at the back there, whose parents will always have a special place in my heart, because I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for them. As a young teenager, their home was second home to my friend and I. And when everyone else was saying, no, David, you can't go into ministry, you've got no gift, no talents, nothing, you can't go, her parents said, God says yes, so go. And they backed me and sent a mixed-up 16-year-old into ministry, which God then had to sort out, and then stood by me until God took them both home. So that's very special. I actually lived in Godmanchester until I was 16 and then went into ministry. So I've never had a regular job where you get a regular income. I've always lived by faith and trusted God, and proof that God is the provider, working with children. And the places I love to go most are third world countries to poor children where other people don't go. But God has done that. My wife Barbara's here with me today, and we've got two married children who've given us four wonderful grandchildren that take up quite a bit of our time when I'm at home now. But I've been to 55 different countries, and this is my 48th year in ministry. God has been faithful all this time, as I don't fundraise, I don't advertise, I don't ask. God opens the doors where he wants me to go. And so I'm with you this morning. And so you children here, you're here because you're the most important ones. All right, I'm here for you, as in any other part of the world that I go to. And for the rest of us, you're going to become as children. And I'm going to use illustrations on the board. I'm not an artist. That's one of my non-talents. But simple line drawings to help you to understand what I'm going to share. And you'll become as children, which, of course, is very scriptural. We have to become as a little child in order to enter the kingdom of God, and that also must apply to every step we make further into the kingdom of God. We have to become as children in simple faith and trust. So we're all in that boat this morning. But you're here because you're the most special, and to help you to focus on the fact that you are the ones that God wants to speak to. And so I need to especially ask you to be very quiet and still during this short time as I share, so that you can hear what God has to say to you. Now, as we go into the message, I understand that you're looking over these months at a very important subject about being a disciple of Jesus and using the scripture in Matthew 4 and verses 18 through to 22, but if I just read the first part of that, verse 18, one day as Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, come and follow me, and I'll show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and went to follow him. Now, if we read that same scripture in the book of Luke, we get a bit bigger picture of what happened here. And we see that it starts off down by the Sea of Galilee, where Peter and John, who are fishermen, have their boat set up by the seashore. And the Bible tells us that these two men had fished all night and caught nothing, which means they had nothing to sell, nothing to make money, so they were busy sitting there mending their nets. And along to them comes Jesus. Now, when Jesus came to them, he was, for them, a complete stranger. They'd never heard of him. They didn't know anything about him. He hadn't begun his ministry. So no miracles had happened. We're told that he'd grown up in the small town of Nazareth, which was a little-known place. And there, as a boy, he was very much like other children as he grew up, except he never sinned. The one thing that made him different, he didn't sin. But then, when Jesus left there, when he'd grown up, the Bible says that he went into the desert and spent time with God and getting victory over the devil. And then he comes down to the seashore and he sees the two fishermen. And as he comes, he asks them, he says to them, "Can you let me use your boat? Let me push it a little way out from the shore and teach the people that are coming." Now, think about it. This man was a complete stranger. Peter owned that boat, and to Peter, the boat was everything to him. It was the way he earned his money, the way he could live and clothe himself and his family and feed them. That was everything. And here was a stranger who didn't know anything about coming and saying, "Can I get into your boat and just push it a little way from the shore?" And you can imagine that he probably thought, "Well, I'm not sure about this one. I don't know this man. Perhaps he's going to, once I get him pushed away from the shore, he's going to sail off with my boat. And he's going fishing in my boat, and I'll have nothing." Or maybe think, "Well, he's a new fisherman coming, and he wants to get me out of the way, so he's going to take my boat out, and when it's out away from the shore, he's going to sink it. So I've got nothing." These thoughts could go through his head. But there was something in Peter's heart that seemed to say, "It's okay. You can trust this man. You don't know him, but you can trust him." And so Peter did let Jesus get into his boat, even though he may have had these feelings. He let him get into the boat, and Jesus sat there until he'd finished teaching all the people that came. But then, when he came out of the boat, after sending the men off to fish, he then said to Peter, "Now leave all of this and come and follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men." Or, "Come and learn to be a disciple." Because, of course, Peter became one of the disciples. And so we see that the first thing about being a disciple is having Jesus in the most important part of us. And of course, the most important part of us is our hearts. If that stops beating, we're dead. So that's the most important part. And that's the part where Jesus himself wants to live. So that part of God actually comes to live within us when we become a Christian. And so Peter's boat was a picture of his heart, the most important thing to him. And when he let Jesus come into his boat, into his heart, everything changed. Suddenly, he wasn't a fisherman anymore. His life was different. Now, for you to become a disciple, this, of course, is our first step, to really be sure and to know that Jesus is living in our hearts and is part of our lives. But then, if we're going to be a disciple, then everything is going to change. Right? You'll still be going to school, because you can't stop doing that. You'll still have to learn and all those exams to take and all that. You don't get out of that one. But things in your life will change if you decide to become a disciple. And that's what Peter did. You see, he didn't have to. Jesus didn't come and take him by the throat and say, "You will become a disciple. Will become a disciple." He said, "Come." And then Peter had to make the choice whether he was going to finish there and let Jesus go off, or whether he was going to go and be that disciple. And so, of course, the same thing is true for you and I. To begin on that path of being a disciple, we have to have prayed the most important prayer we pray in our lives, asking God to forgive us for the sin we've done, to get that out of our lives, and invite Jesus to come and live within us. But then we have to choose to want to go further and to become a disciple, which is what Peter decided here. But if we're going to be a disciple, then there are some tough choices that we have to make. Okay, we can stop there, but that's only little. It's only a little bit of God. We need to go further, but we have to make choices if we're going to do that. And we're just going to look for a few minutes at two men in the Bible, one who was like a disciple and one who was a disciple, to see the tough choices that we have to make if we're going to say, yes, I want to be more than just a Christian, more than just filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to live for him. Then we have to make these choices. And these two men is Elijah, who was the old prophet, and Elisha, who was his disciple. Elisha was to be the prophet when Elijah died. And the Bible tells us that these two men went on a journey together before God took Elijah up into heaven. So Elijah's the older man there, and then we have Elisha, the young disciple. And they went on this journey. And the Bible says that they came first to the town of Gilgal. And this town had been a very important place in the life of Israel. But by the time that Elijah and Elisha came there, we find that the Bible says that the people had become very selfish. Living for me, what I want to do, what pleases me, what makes me happy, what I want to do, all I, me, and forgetting about God. It was all what they wanted to do, how they wanted to live, not how God wanted them to live. They wanted to do their own thing and make all their own choices. And the Bible says that when they got to this place, Elijah turned to Elisha and said, "You can stay here if you want, but God is telling me to go further, to go on." And the Bible says Elisha's answer was, "No, I'm not staying here. I'm going with you." So in other words, Elisha said, "I want to follow you. I don't want to live for me, for what I want, what pleases me, what makes me happy, what I want to do and blow everyone else. I am going where God wants me to go." And so the Bible says that the two men journeyed on together again, and this time they came to the town of Bethel. And again, Bethel had been a very important place in their history, but by the time Elijah and Elisha came here, the Bible says that the people had really turned away from God, and instead they were bowing down and worshipping idols. They'd taken other gods instead of the true living God, and they were bowing down and worshipping these idols. So when they came to this town, again Elijah asked the same question. You can stay here if you want, but I'm going on to the next place. And again Elisha's answer was, "No way, I'm going with you." So Elisha said, as a disciple, "I won't live for me and what I want, what pleases me, what makes me happy. I want to do what God wants." He said, "Also, I won't have any idols in my life either. I want to go with you." Now, I'm sure we can all say, "Well, I don't bow down to any statues in my sitting room. I haven't got a big Buddha or something like that that I bow down to." No, we don't have those, but a statue isn't the only kind of idol that we can have. In fact, anyone, any person or anything that becomes more important to us than God becomes an idol. Anything that takes up a thought, effort, and time that we could give to God can become an idol. And just by way of mentioning here, one of our biggest idols that we have today isn't made of stone or wood, as an idol we carry in the pocket or in the handbag. And it's our phones and tablets and so on, our electronic toys, electronic games, which in themselves, a lot of it is not a problem. But if it takes all our time, all our effort, and we're glued to these things and we can't let them go, they've become an idol. And they're taking up some of the place that God wants. So we need to watch some of these things that we don't spend time, that we could maybe spend time praying or reading our Bibles, and we do play, have to play these. You know, I meet children and say, but I don't have time to read my Bible and pray. I'm too busy. I have to get so much stuff to do. And you find that the first thing they wake up, out comes the phone, check all the messages, have a few goes on the games, then have breakfast, off to school, come back home, back onto the phone again, checking everything, and so on. But there's no time to read the Bible or pray, but there is time to check the messages and to make the text messages and so on, so they've become an idol. We need to watch and beware that these things have their right place, the place, a smaller place than God has in our lives. For Elisha to be the disciple and end up being the prophet, he had to say, I will have no idols in my life. Nothing that becomes more important than God. And so the two men journeyed on again. And this time they came to the city of Jericho. Again, the city of Jericho had been important in their history. But by the time Elijah and Elisha came there, we find that the people had become people who mocked God, who made fun of him, laughed at God, and as a result, the land was barren, so no rain came, there was no food, and the water was poisoned. So it was not a very nice place, the city of Jericho, any longer, because the people mocked God. And maybe we say, well, I don't do that, I'm okay. Well, we need to think how we use the name of God or the name of Jesus. In the world in which we live, those two names have become a swear word, a word we use when we get angry or something goes wrong or someone stamps on our toe. We use those names. But yet the name of God, the name of Jesus, should be the most precious and valuable names we have. Because God's the one who's waiting to welcome us into heaven if we make the right choices. Jesus, who's longing to be the most important person in our lives, who died on a cross in shameful death just for us. And yet, so often we allow those names to be used wrongly. And so we need to be careful. We use those names only in love for God and not let them be used wrongly. And so when they came here again, Elijah asked the same question. He said, you can stay here, but God's telling me to go further. And Elisha said, no way am I staying here. I'm going with you. But when they got here, Elisha had a double problem. Because when he got here, he had a visit from the sons of the prophets. Now, if you could say they were like a picture of Christians today. And when Elisha, they came to Elisha and said, Elisha, you know Elijah's going to be taken away, don't you? Then what are you going to do? Where are you going to go? Where are you going to live? You'll have no one to lead you when he's gone. Stay here with us. We'll look after you. We'll take care of you. You'll be fine with us, and we'll make sure you have everything you need. And Elisha to that said, yes, I know he's going to be taken away, but I'm going with him to the end. I'm going where God wants me to go. And if we think about it, think of what these picture of Christians were doing. They were saying, don't do what God wants. Stay with us. There's no food. And the water's poison. But we'll look after you. You'll be okay. You just can't eat and drink. And without food and drink, we're dead. But that's what they were saying. And Elisha said, I know, but I'm going to the end, and then it's in God's hands. So important choices we have to make. One, to know that Jesus is in our hearts and lives. Two, we're going to live a life that doesn't involve me, I, what I want, what pleases what me, what makes me happy, what I want to do. We're going to have nothing in our lives that becomes more important than God. He will have the number one place and other things and other people after that. We'll have to make the choice that I'm not going to use God's name except in love to him and in sharing with others and not in the wrong way and not listen to those who try to persuade me to do something else. Because the devil will make sure he sends people along to take us in a different direction, to do something different other than what God wants. And Elisha said, no, no, no to all of those things. I am doing what God wants. I'm going to be the disciple that God wants me to be. And so now, the Bible says they came to the River Jordan. And this would seem to be the end of the line when the two men came here, because there were no bridges or boats or anything to get across. So this would be it, except God told Elisha to take the cloak that he had and hit the water with it. What good is that going to do? Yeah, you know the answer to this one. But if I took my coat down to the river and hit the water with it, would anything happen? No, just get wet. Nothing would happen. But God said it, so he now had to make a choice. Do I trust God and do something I don't really understand and can't see what good it's going to do anyway, but I'll do it because God said it? You know, being a disciple is trusting God to do the things he tells us to do and be what he wants us to be without understanding how we're going to do it or how it's all going to work or whether we can do it, but trusting God. And Elisha decided to trust God, and as I'm sure you were going to tell me, the River Jordan opened up, and of course the two men then were able to go on their journey on the other side. And then God brought the waters back together again. And now it seems that being a disciple is all don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, choose this, trust me here. It's all the do's and don'ts. But not really. Because out of this comes the blessing. Out of being willing to let Jesus into our hearts and not have the things we want necessarily, but what God wants. Having nothing or no one that's more important. Making sure the name of God and name of Jesus is used in love. And be willing to trust him when we don't understand or see how it's going to work. Then came the good bit. Because the two men were walking along together. And Elijah said to Elisha, ask God whatever you want and he will do it. Now think about it. God said, ask whatever you want and I'll do it. Now God has to do what he says. Otherwise he sinned if he doesn't. So Elisha could ask for anything he wanted. Now, think about it. I wonder what we would choose if God were to say, you can ask me anything you want and I'll do it for you. Maybe we'd say, well, I want to be a millionaire. I want this big flashy car. I want to go somewhere. Maybe we'd think of the ordinary things, but Elisha said, I want a double portion of the spirit that you've got. I want a double portion. That seems maybe wrong a bit. And was he going to use it? I'm better than that old man when he gets to heaven. I'm better than you. I had to double your blessing. No. Elisha knew that he had to be the prophet among all these people who were living for themselves, worshipping idols, misusing the name of God, not willing to trust him. He knew he couldn't do what God wanted without God's help. And none of us can be disciples without God's help. It's not something he says, come and follow me and then now get on and do it. He says, come follow me and I'll help you to do it. So Elisha was asking for help to do what he had to do. And children, young people, adults, God is there waiting. He doesn't butt in though. doesn't push his way in and make us let him help. He says, I'm here. If you're listening, I want to help you, but we have to ask. Elisha asked for what he needed to do the job he had to do. And so Elisha said, well, if you see me go, then it's yours. And they were walking along together. And the Bible tells us that a chariot of fire came down out of the sky, took Elijah up, and suddenly he was gone. And he wasn't there anymore. But his cloak did drop to the ground. And there he was, all on his own. And the Bible says that this group of sons of the prophets had moved over here watching him. And you know why they were watching him? So they could say, now look at the mess you've made. Now you didn't listen to us, did you? We said we'd look after you and provide for you and give you everything you needed. And you had to be stubborn and do what you did, and now you're stuck on the wrong side of the river. It's closed up. You can't get through. Elijah's gone. You're in trouble now. Being a disciple means there will be those who'll be watching to see how you do and maybe even come and criticize when it looks as if we've made a wrong choice. And it looked as if Elisha had made a wrong choice, except he'd asked for a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. But he now had to prove he had it. You know, and the Bible tells us, of which, of course, the Bible is the most important book. It's the book through which God speaks. And it tells us there in the Bible that every bit of help we need, every blessing, every anointing is for everyone, including you children. Not just the teenagers or the adults, but you children are a part of the blessing that God has. And it's all there, but we don't have it because we don't ask. We don't use it. Elisha had an opportunity. The Bible says he picked up the cloak that had dropped from Elijah. He walked up to the river and did exactly the same. He was a good disciple because he watched what Elijah did. And he walked up to the river, he hit the waters. And God did exactly the same for him as he did for Elijah. And he was able to walk across on dry ground. Thank you. And ended up on the right side of the river. And if you read that story, you find that God gave him a bit more than he asked for. The Bible tells us that Elijah had 6 miracles. Elisha had 12 and then 1 after he died, making 13. So he got more than his double portion in the end. But the important thing is the tough choices we have to make if we're going to be a disciple of Jesus. The one that we start with is having Jesus in our hearts. But then we have to choose not to live for ourselves and what we want, what pleases us, what makes us happy. But like Elisha, to do what God wants. We have to make choices not to let anyone or anything become more important than God so it can become an idol. We have to make sure that that name of Jesus, the name of God, is precious and valuable to us. We have to make choices to be willing to trust God when we don't understand and don't see how, and then see God do the miracles. And most of all, know that the promise is there. That God is not someone way up in the sky there, out of the way that we can't reach, but he's right there beside us, waiting for us to ask for help. And he's there to give us all the help we need. We make the choices. God helps us through. Sometimes it gets tough. Sometimes people make it difficult. Sometimes things happen to make it difficult. But whatever happened, Elisha went to the end. Peter later went to the end and carried on the work that Jesus began after he went up into heaven. Now we may say, but it's easy for these people because they were in the Bible. They had something special. They had something different. Well, no, certainly Elisha didn't, because if you look at Elisha, he lived, as it were, on the wrong side of the cross. Because we know that the Bible's divided up into two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament, and it's the cross that makes the divide between the two that Jesus died on. All on this side is the Old Testament, all here is the New. In the Old Testament, God was someone who was way up here in heaven, and the people were down here on earth, and there was this big gap between. There was the gap of sin between us, separating us. And for people like Elijah and Elisha, God would come and was with them at times, but then wasn't there at others. He wasn't with them all the time. He had a measure of the Holy Spirit helping him, but the Holy Spirit wasn't with him all the time, because it wasn't until after Jesus had died on the cross, gone into the tomb and risen again from the dead and went back into heaven, that we could actually have part of God within us. So we have, as a Christian, we have part of God with us all the time. Wherever we go, wherever we are, we have him with us, which Elisha didn't. And if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, then we have the power of God with us all the time to help us to be a disciple. So God's there waiting. He'll help. It sounds maybe a difficult thing, but we don't have to make all the choices at once. God takes us one step at a time. But God dearly does want every one of us to be disciples, to be followers of him, not just Christians, not even just spirit-filled, but followers of Jesus. And that includes especially you children here. So think about those things. God desperately wants you, but you have to make the right choices. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer just to finish. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these people we've looked at. Their lives have things to teach us for living for you today. Help us to remember these things, but help us to become doers of these words, to become followers of Jesus, not just people who hear what you say and then go out and forget, but be those who hear what you say and then become followers of you, disciples of yours. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.